It's been.
There we go. I see. It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
And the swear jar is back.
Back by popular demand. And even better, it is live.
Tell me about the device that you have there, Sean.
Well, this is the AKAI called Akai Professional, the MPD, MiniPad 218, it's called. Why the 218? I don't know.
So you've saved a bunch of sound
saved
effects.
My money.
You saved your money
for a couple weeks.
Oh.
This is like a drum pad that you would connect to, which we have connected to GarageBand right now.
What type of chores do you do for your allowance?
I vacuum. Mm-hmm. I clean up That's after my one. Pet. Oh. I make sure my clothes are off the floor. Good.
Do you unload the dishwasher?
I do. I pull pretty good kitchen duty.
Yeah.
Are you cook the, and then do the dishes some nights?
Are you the guy who loads the dishwasher? Do you have like a, does everything have a special place in your dishwasher?
Yeah, I've got a bit of OCD going on with the dishwasher, especially if my my wife loads bowls a certain way. I have to flip them around the other way because, you know.
Bowls go a certain way. The
bowls
dishwasher.
Do go a certain way.
Do you rinse before you put in the dishwasher?
Some things, yeah, especially the Nutella covered dishes that my kids like to. The dishwasher just can't scrape that Nutella off.
Put another Nutella on the Bobby.
No, that's not.
Not a great Australian accent.
No. All right, we're live. We're in real time. We got sound effects going on.
So we got feedback from listener Matt, who said he really wanted the swear jar back.
Right.
Swear jar sound.
And one of the challenges we had with that is that we'd have to go back and add those in post, right?
Which
and it just
takes
added.
Some time.
Yeah, for sure.
For you.
For
not
sure.
Me.
For me.
I
but
just
still,
patiently wait.
But we're a team, right?
That's right. So we say we.
We.
It took us some time. It did. It really took us some time to edit it. But now the sound effects are being added as we go. And I apologize.
If I go overboard.
The piano might have been too much last episode. I can't even wait to know what you think about this
I think we'll be okay. We've got limited sound effects here, you know? Yeah.
That was me making sound effects.
I think we should let's just do it.
Here we go.
You ready?
Ready.
You ready? I'm not ready. Damn it. Okay, now I'm ready.
Ready.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
People of the jury, I'm District Attorney Russ Trotter.
And I'm Attorney Sean Gambini.
And we're two dads who love watching
and appealing
movies. On this podcast, we are chatting about the 1992 courtroom comedy, My Cousin Vinny. We were self-subpoenaed to watch movies together when we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
Overruled.
34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Objection. Sustained.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Demonstrate very basic film knowledge.
And most importantly, have fun. This is
This is, I thought we were doing it in unison.
No, you want to do that.
Okay,
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So that's why I'm trying to mess you
Sorry.
Up. But in a fun way.
Do it.
In a playful way.
Do it.
Where this is just another review podcast. Whew, got that in by
you
myself.
Did. Perfect.
Like I said, we're talking about My Cousin Vinny.
I object. I want to do it in unison.
Okay. You would. Okay. You want to do it in unison?
One, no. You've already
two,
said it. It's okay.
Three. Frig you. My Cousin Vinny, it's a 1992 film directed by Jonathan Lynn, who also directed the Ferris Bueller's TV show.
When the heck did that come out?
I would assume somewhere around 1991.
So it was prior to this?
Yes.
Okay.
After the movie, prior to this, is my guess without looking on it, but from my brief memory of looking at Internet Movie Database a few days ago. I just thought that was a kind of a neat connection with our last episode. We did talk about Joe Pesci in our last episode. Right?
I think that's where we got the idea to do this movie.
Yeah, no. Yeah, what was the connection? Somebody, because the guy who did Ferris Bueller's Day Off also did Home Alone.
Right. That's we did a whole John Hughes universe, Home Alone, Joe Pesci.
So when he was John Hughes wrote Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't think he directed Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
John Hughes, yes, he did.
Okay. I'm gonna sound like a real
basic
considering
we reviewed it the other week.
Knowledge.
Whatever. Basic film knowledge.
Okay, got so it. John Hughes did Home Alone as well, right. Which is obviously, I know that for a fact. I'm saying it like I know it's a fact.
It is a fact.
But this movie was directed by Jonathan Lynn. Also, it was written by Dale Lawner. Dale also did Ruthless People and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which I would like to go
both
back and
I can't
watch.
Recall. I know what movies you're talking about, but yeah. I'm sure I've seen bits and pieces, but yeah.
The Dirty Rotten Scoundrels I recall watching because it's like Steve Martin and...
John Candy, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's Michael Caine.
Oh.
So like, I think like...
Oh, I've seen that, but it's not memorable for me.
Like yeah. Steve Martin is the idiot and I think Michael Caine is... Yeah, so it's like...
Okay. And it's like a switcheroo kind of thing, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think for some reason they're in a scenario where they have to pretend that Steve Martin is something that he isn't. And he just, maybe I remember them being like a little, there's a little bit of a class war going thing. Maybe we should watch Dirty Rotten Scoundrels in the future. Ruthless People had Danny DeVito in it. I don't recall that at all, but
Michael Caine.
Is that your Michael Caine? Kind of. Michael Caine impression of saying his own name.
Yeah. I'm Michael Caine.
This is the Michael Caine audition.
You haven't given up on me yet, Alfred, have you? Never.
Never. Never, sir.
Never. I was like, whoa, calm the fuck down. Whoops.
So there you go. So we go. In real time.
That was added with Sean my finger.
There you go. Amazing.
Yeah. Who knows where my fingers.
You had asked me actually to think of a charity because you.
Oh, I know a charity.
Oh, what? I know a hall, a hope.
The butterfly run.
Oh, yeah, right then. We're going
to... I'm going to donate to the butterfly
that's
run.
That's very nice of you. I think you can do that online.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Perfect. Done deal.
If you'd like to know more about the butterfly run, you can go online.
Yes. Support the butterfly run in... Is it just solo to Vancouver or is that something that's global or North America? Like, are there butterfly runs?
There is one in Toronto.
Okay.
Where the Vancouver one took its name from.
Okay.
But it is a separate identity.
Okay. Okay. Please give to the Butterfly Run, the Vancouver...
Butterfly Run. Not the Toronto. Who's in this movie? Someone asked for us
someone
to get on
will eventually.
Joe Pesci.
Pepsi? Why did you say Pepsi?
I thought it was funny. Do you prefer Pepsi over Coke? I had a Pepsi the other day. I don't normally have Pepsis.
No,
Pepsis.
Yeah, I normally go to Coke. I think it's just
Coca-Cola classic.
But I don't think I really have a preference, to be honest with you.
Do you think you could tell the difference if someone blindfolded you?
Yes.
Okay. Someone recently, my sister, recently said that, have you ever had the bubbly, the buble?
No, the Michael Buble.
You've never had bubles?
No.
Never?
No.
Well, that's weird.
Is it good?
You've never had a bubbly.
No.
No one's ever said, do you want a bubbly?
Taken them up on it. No.
Do you
have one upstairs?
I have. Well, I just brought down a flat from the Costco.
Well, then I'm going to leave with one.
Well, we should probably you should take it home and make it cold. Or I'll put ice in it. Mm. Anyways, the fact that you haven't had a bubbly before. Anyways, have you ever had a flavored club soda?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what a bubbly is.
Okay.
My sister believes that if you did the blind taste test, you would not be able to tell the flavors apart for bubblies. And there are quite a few flavors now. I don't know if you've ever seen.
They just amalgamate all into one flavor?
Her belief. Hmm. I think she's wrong. Hmm. But it would maybe be worth, you know, maybe since you've never had a bubbly.
I'd be a good guinea pig for
next
this.
Episode, I'll get like six different flavors. Okay. This is going to be good podcasting. Okay. And you will, without even knowing any of them.
It's
you
the
will,
bubbly taste challenge.
And you, not only are you going to be able to see if you can tell them apart, I want you to tell me what you think, what flavor you think they are. Because you'll be having them for the first time.
Okay.
So you won't even know.
Oh, this is vanilla cum flavor, right?
Which is the most popular one.
Oh, vanilla cum flavor.
In Canada. Not a big one in the States.
Remember that from the Office where the guy like imports these Asian power sodas and they're like, it's like vanilla penis flavor or something. No. And Daryl takes a sip. He's like, it's a little light on the vanilla flavor.
I did not.
It was some like athletic, like gay man's drink in Japan and they brought him over. It's like vanilla penis. He's like, oh, it's a little light on the vanilla.
Go back.
That
and
means
watch
it
the
tasted
Office.
Like penis rust.
Thank you for making the connection. I wasn't right. I wasn't there yet, but now I got it. The more you know.
Okay. That's Joe Pesci aside. Who else is in this movie?
Marisa Tomei.
Oh,
Marissa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ralph Macchio and Mitchell Whitfield. Okay,
does Ralph Macchio age?
Yeah,
he looks pretty good. I think him and Marissa Tomei are drinking from the same fountain.
Oh, maybe. And I saw...
Joe looks pretty good, I think.
I saw Joe Pesci in that Netflix movie, and he looked pretty good in that, too.
Irishman?
Yeah, he looked really good in that. That was crazy. I'm making a de-aging.
Oh, right. Joke. Yeah.
It's not really working.
Yeah. No, it's not. That one went right over my head.
Yeah, but if I made a penis drinking water joke, you'd love it.
Oh, I'd be all over that.
Mitchell Whitfield.
I object to that joke.
Mitchell Whitfield. Mitchell Whitfield. He's a big voice actor now.
Okay.
So if you're like, where is Mitchell Whitfield?
He's doing voices. That's got to be a cushy job, a voice actor. I heard it's long. It can be demanding
stuff. I think you got to be pretty talented, too.
Yeah. I think they make really good money.
Do they?
Yeah. For half-day work, supposedly. I always thought if things fell through, maybe I could get into cartoon voices.
So you maybe know a little bit about this because you work in a company that uses voice artists.
Right.
Right. So you've brought them in probably into your studio.
Oh, yeah.
And recorded them.
Yep.
You also record people with bubbles, like dots on them, and they move around. What is that called? Motion capture?
Motion capture. Yeah. We do the motion capture stuff.
You do that. You do voice.
We just did that
Who's the most famous person, is a celebrity or athlete that you've
ever met personally?
That you've had to work with for your job.
I filmed a marketing video when what's her name? Elijah Dushku did. She was from Buffy. You'd know her if you saw her,
like the original Buffy.
Yeah.
Sure.
And she did. She made an appearance in one of our games, and I had to do. I was behind the scenes. I had like no contact with her, but I was in the room and I was filming. I was directing the piece.
You weren't allowed to talk to her or look her in the eye.
No, pretty much. And I think I totally fucked everything up too, because I think her name is Elijah.
Well, you don't even know now.
So. Well, I don't know. And I called her Eliza.
Right.
And she corrected me.
Oh.
And then we did the video.
Don't have such a weird name.
Yeah. A couple days later, and we sent it to her, and supposedly her team didn't approve our video because her hair didn't look good. So I did all this work, directed this video, filmed it. It was a great video. It showed her in real life, maybe for like a bookend. Like she started the video and ended it. And everything else was sort of her in-game character for her. So for her to say her hair didn't look, it was just bullshit.
Are you allowed to talk about this on microphone?
Sure.
Okay. You won't lose your job.
I hope not.
Because you even hear like...
This was 10 plus years ago.
Sure. But even sometimes you hear like celebrities don't talk bad about each other, even if it was like...
I'm not a celebrity.
Right. But you're talking about a celebrity. And so I don't really... Has she done anything? Like, I don't recognize the name. I know that there is a Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
I think
movie.
She did some other... I'll show you a picture of her and you'll be like, oh, okay.
No, I know there's a movie.
But do you know the girl I'm talking about?
Sure. She's blonde. Well,
she was in Bring It On with Kirsten Dunst, the cheerleader movie.
She was
movie.
In Bring It On? Okay.
I think she was a cheerleader for Bring It On.
It's cold in here. There must be some turtles in the atmosphere. I said, burr. It's cold in
Okay, wait. Mitchell Whitfield is doing voice stuff.
Yes.
What kind of voice stuff?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The new one?
I don't think so.
Did you see the trailer for the new one?
I know that exists. I think I may have seen a teaser.
I think you'd remember it because it's very stylish.
Right. Is it like, is it cartoon or is it
cartoon? It's animated, but it's got a very Spider-Man into
the Spider-Verse?
Spider-Verse feel.
It's
and
really changed the game, that show. That
I think movie. It has. Yeah. It has. Puss in Boots even took some stylistic things out of it. You saw Puss
and Boots, Mitchell and the Machines, right? No, you never saw Mitchell and the
Machines? I did. It was really good, but I don't think it pulled anything.
I thought it was like there was a connection between the people that wrote Mitchell and the Machines or the people that drew.
Oh, maybe.
I thought there was like a same.
But stylistic. I'm talking about style.
Okay, thank you.
I'm talking about like the visual aesthetic.
I have no style, so I don't know.
That's not true.
Did you know that Marissa Tomei won an Academy Award for this?
For this, yeah. I did know that. Yeah. And then going back and watching it, I kind of wonder why.
Wow, she was good.
She was good.
She is good. Is it an Academy Award winning performance?
I think if you look at it now compared to supporting actors' performances, I think you'd be a little, really? She won for that? I'm not knocking her.
No.
At all.
No.
Because she's
She was great. I thought she was great. I thought Joe Pesci was actually great as well as My Cousin Vinny. Mm-hmm. So I went back to, so Jack Palance did the, presented
the Saddlebag with Eyes.
Saddlebag
with
from
Eyes.
From City Slickers,
yeah.
Which he won the year prior.
Don't forget your lucky deck.
This one thing.
Right. That's your favorite line from Batman, right? And I am your number one.
Yeah, Jack. Right? You are my number one guy. Is my favorite
You scare your
yeah,
kids.
I used to grab my kids by their...
The throat.
The throat. Yeah. I grab them by the
and
arms.
Shake them.
And just kind of massage their arms in a very like aggressive Jack Palance way. And I would say, Jack, you are my number one guy. And I think his intonations are different because every time I rewatch the YouTube clip, I'm always like, oh, I'm not really nailing it correctly. But it was it really stuck.
It's like
with
the Mandela effect, eh? You know, you think something from your childhood is accurate, and then you go back and you look at it, and it's like, man, that's not exactly how it was at all.
Like Never Ending Story, not that great of a movie.
Yeah.
Mandela, like, no,
pretty much turned it off after the horse died.
A train.
Fuck this movie. My kids were balling.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was going to happen,
yeah.
But I thought for sure, no, it was like turn the movie off at that point. No, they did finish it, but yeah. Man.
That's the most famous person I know is a guy who was one of the bullies in the Neverending Story.
Right, because it was filmed in the Lower Mainland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also a bully in the It, the original It movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
We could have him on.
Let's bring on a kid from It.
No, he's not a kid anymore.
Oh.
He grew up.
Oh.
But he'd be amazing.
So Jack Palance. Back to Jack Palance.
Jack Palance. You are. So he presented it, and he pronounces Marissa in a wonderful way.
Marissa.
And he makes some joke, because I think she was pretty much up against all British actresses, actors.
That's tough.
And she
probably
won.
Judi Dench, I bet.
Yeah, you'd think it would have been.
Probably.
You know, no. Because Howard's End, which Judi Dench was not in, but Emma Thompson was.
Oh.
Helen Bonham Carter. I loved Howard's End. I was a big Howard's End person.
I couldn't tell you that I've ever seen it.
And this is grade 8 and 9.
Please don't get us to watch it.
So as a 13-year-old, I really enjoyed Howard's End. Anthony Hopkins.
I like those period pieces, right?
I would. I never liked You should those. Watch. You don't remember watching Howard's End?
I don't like period. Isn't it a period
it's
movie?
It's a period. Of course it is. It's a period first. It's like that Red movie.
Yeah, you know what? When periods come around, I usually just take a break for a couple days.
But if you look back at the Academy Awards during that time for Best Supporting Actress, you've got 1991, Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
For the 1990s.
Oh, we should watch that movie. Ghost. I'm going to add that.
I have watched it recently.
You did watch it recently.
Yeah, and Whoopi Goldberg is amazing in it. She's hilarious.
I'll just go watch it on my own.
Yeah, you just go watch that.
I will.
So she won in 1991 for the 1990 movies. Mercedes Rule won for The Fisher King, and I don't remember too much about The Fisher King, but
Mercedes Rule, I think she's like the Italian. She's kind of gruffly a little bit.
Gruffly?
Eh?
Like a Gruffalo?
Well, she doesn't look like the Gruffalo. No, her voice is gruffly.
I think so. I mean, to me, that whole performance that she did in The Fisher King, which I don't remember. I watched a couple of YouTube clips, but that kind of like connects to me with like the Marissa Tomei performance in My Cousin Vinny. Like both kind of, for lack of a better term, like a spark plug, like lots of energy, some personality. Funky,
they're the firecracker.
Funky, they're firecracker. Yeah. So it almost like there was like a theme going on.
Okay.
You know, just pointing that out, you know, because I have basic film knowledge. Good. Are you ready to start reviewing the synopsis of the film?
Let's do it, buddy.
Bill,
Ralph Macchio,
and Stan
Mitchell Whitfield
are driving their faded metallic mint green 1964 Buick Skylark convertible down the highway way down south.
Just above the border, just above. Isn't that?
In Alabama, Beecham County. They stop at the old Sack of Suds for some cheap beans, food supplies, and a can of tuna.
Hey, because it's got protein.
Bill Macchio.
Stay gold, pony boy.
Forgets to pay for the tuna and is pulled over by local authorities. Taken to the police station, there's a misunderstanding and Bill mistakenly confesses to killing the Sack of Suds store clerk.
I shot the clerk. Boy shot the clock.
Bill calls his mother, Mama, who sets the boys up with Vinny Gambini.
Ooh, Joe Pepsi.
The attorney in the family.
Joe Coke.
Oh, that's a great name.
Joe Coke. That sounds like a porn name.
Joe Coke.
I'm Joe Coke.
Or your drug dealer.
I'm here to fix your plumbing.
What's your drug dealer's name? Joe Coke.
Joe Coke. Derek.
So I wrote this synopsis. I didn't take it from Wikipedia. I just want to point that out. I think.
You did great.
Good job. I like doing the synopsis. It does take me a while.
No, you write them really well. I like your you do great.
Thank you so much.
You know what? I'll write mine next time. It's my job.
Or I can. What I'm saying is I enjoy it. So if you want me to write yours, I can also.
There you go. Russ has just said he's going to write every synopsis that I don't want to.
You're welcome, world. I don't remember if I've ever seen this movie before.
I don't remember. I know I'd seen it, but I don't remember where I saw it. I know I didn't see it in the theater. Right. I can guarantee that.
Did it we must watch have been it in your basement?
Probably. I don't know.
I'd have no memory.
I don't know. This movie I felt was like, oh, My Cousin Vinny. Like it's this classic movie.
It is. Well, it's classic comedy. And I mean,
we'll get to it at the end, but I think... No, I'll save that for the end.
Here's movies that came out in 19.
What came out?
92. That we've done so far on the podcast. Mighty Ducks. Fire Walk With Me. Bram Stoker's Dracula. Hmm. And so I have core memories of Bram Stoker's for sure.
Oh, for sure. I think we were busy rewatching the naked vampire maiden scene probably when My Cousin Vinny came out.
Possibly. Movies that I do know I saw. Encino Man. Reservoir Dogs, mm-hmm. Wayne's World, Army of Darkness, Batman Returns.
Mm? Yeah, good one. Underrated. Maybe?
Yeah, I think it is.
I haven't seen it forever. Maybe we should go watch it.
I think in the days of superheroes, which we now live in, I think you can go back and really appreciate how Batman Returns is more original.
I think Danny DeVito would be a really good standout in that movie. Eh?
Or Michelle Pfeiffer, actually. Oh, yeah. Probably
Michelle Pfeiffer.
There is an argument that she's been probably the best Catwoman. Anyways.
Let's give her credit for that suit that she wore. Come on.
Yeah, she handmade it. So these are some of the 1992 alternatives that we were maybe watching.
Okay.
I know we were watching other than My Cousin Vinny. A lot of good character actors in this movie, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much Ralph Macchio.
No. I'll totally give you that.
No. Sure. Yeah.
No, great supporting cast.
Great supporting cast.
Lots of little tidbitties, people that were maybe a little not quite big back then and then have grown. You know, people you still see today were in that movie.
Yeah.
Other than Herman Munster.
I believe he's. Because he's passed.
I'm pretty sure he is.
I'm sure, yeah.
There's that giant fucking head of his. Whoa. It was just too much for his body to hold up.
Oh, man.
Sean.
Stop.
Okay.
It's not appropriate. Object. Object to your like.
Sorry. I was trying to be funny.
Well, it's I punch up.
Okay.
Let's
be honest. So the guy's head was gigantic.
That's why he was probably cast as
Gigantor Judge
from the movie Gigantic.
Got it. Okay.
A little known fact for everybody listening is Sean and I, not yet, but we would eventually be in the high school play, The Outsiders.
Right.
So this is in 92, we were in grade 8 and 9.
So 95 was our Outsiders. Year.
Right. No. So when we were in grade 11.
Yeah, 95.
Right.
No, it was grade 12, but it was in the fall of grade 12.
Right. You are correct.
So it was before, it was the fall play.
Not the spring
play. Not the spring play where I got to play Oliver Twist. It was magical.
Could you sing us a little song?
No, thanks, Mom. My mom gets me to try and sing Oliver all the time.
What? When you go over to her house, you're like, sing me.
Sean, did you sing when you repeated Oliver? I'm like, Jesus, Mom.
What's a classic song from Oliver? What's your I Want song in Oliver? Is it like a family? I want a family.
Yeah, it's like, where
is love?
Is love.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Does it fall from skies above?
Yes. Now I'm getting remembering. I was in that play as well, but I was a character called Noah Claypole.
Mm.
And that's all I recall from that. Mm. It's like when I was the ghost from Wizard of Oz.
I wish I'd tried out for the Artful Dodger instead.
That would have been fun. I think you would have had more fun.
For sure. But instead, it was like, oh, I got the lead role and I should have just I don't know.
To me,
bit of a regret.
It would have been fun. Not fun. It would have been interesting if they could have is actually cast like a maybe like a grade eight.
They were for going Oliver. There was
like a younger
the
kid.
The threat of that if I didn't get my shit together.
The drama teacher told you this?
Yes.
Oh.
Drama teacher and Mr. Sawyer, the music teacher, pulled me aside and asked me like how committed I was to this. And I said, yeah, because I was trying to have fun during rehearsal, right?
Not a fun
and I think
role.
They were stressed out or something, but maybe the play wasn't quite moving along in the rehearsal they stage as far as they needed. So, you know, and I was goofing off quite a bit, and I'll admit that. And so they just kind of asked if I was serious and that, you know, they could get a...
We will go to the junior high and we will pull a random.
We can do that if you want, Sean.
13-year-old
like,
who
yeah, looks, maybe.
And that and like, probably no. would have been good. And can you and can you fire
but then I wouldn't have been
the
in
Artful
it.
Dodger? Right.
But then it wasn't like we'll give you another part. It was like, okay, you either take Oliver or you're not in
right.
it. And it was like, okay, well, you know, I wanted to
act. You wanted to be a big boy.
I wanted to be
a big boy.
I had stars in my eyes. I wanted to be an actor and all that stuff back then.
So what happened?
I wanted to get behind the camera instead.
Oh, interesting. That's weird how that's evolved. But what my point was.
What is your point?
In the fall show, we did Oliver and you. Were you the Ralph Macchio character?
Yeah, I was Ralph Macchio. I was Johnny Cage.
You died.
I got to die.
No, in the fire.
Yeah, I got to die in a fire.
And is your last line, Stay gold,
Bonnie Boy. I died.
Oh, man, that's dramatic. I was Soda Pop. Again, no memory of
the older
what that
brother.
Meant.
One of the older brothers.
Was I?
Soda Pop. Who's Soda Pop?
He was Rob Lowe in the movie.
Okay, just a friend then.
I think he was just a friend.
You weren't anything significant.
Right.
Just kidding.
Poo poo on me.
This
whole opening section of the movie where they're feeling like they're blaming these kids without any evidence, and they're just like stacking the deck against them.
Yeah, and they're like, what's the word? Extorting them almost a little bit, eh?
Yes. And so it kind of started, I mean, obviously the world has changed from 1992. And when it comes down to like racism and systemic racism and the police and how the police are funded and what their objectives are, I'm not bashing the police at all. I've got many friends who are in the RCMP.
Oh shit, you do?
yeah, they're coming at you. Mm. But I think it gives us a different perspective when we're watching something like this. And it kind of made me, I got over this quickly, but during that part of it, I was like, ooh, this is not, this didn't sit well. But
I got hung up on the stupidity of it a little bit.
It was,
I was trying to let it go. Yeah. Like, okay, this is a comedy. But it was just like, how do these guys not question why they're being detained? Nothing comes out until they've already sort of implicated themselves or whatever you want to call it, you know? And it's like, come on, like, I don't know. I just couldn't get my mind past the fact that everybody's so stupid that it took hours before it actually came out, like why they were being arrested to begin with.
Or what felt like hours.
Felt like hours to us.
Yeah, exactly. But have you, what I'm getting at is, have you seen the Netflix series When They See Us?
I saw a little bit of I think I watched the first episode, but I don't think I was overly engaged to keep it
going. Right. It's really good.
Yeah.
Like it's really like, and as far as like this really happened.
I know the story you're talking about. Yeah.
And Oprah Winfrey does like a follow up When They See Us Now. Don't say that. And she does a follow up on Netflix, and I recommend watching them both in the right order. But a really good kind of like, dramatic understanding of what went down for those boys and how it dramatically impacted them.
How long were they detained for? You said in 1989. How long were they held for until they finally?
Well, they didn't
were
get
exonerated.
Out until 2002. So you do the math there. I mean,
that's 13 years
in the prison. And
just while everyone was trying to figure out what the F happened.
Well, yeah, and I think they were probably like it was probably being. What's that called when they like question, they say wrong judge, wrong court, and
appeal?
They appeal it. Yes.
It just kept going through appeal.
They were probably appealing it because there was they stacked the evidence against them. They made them like, they pretty much like made them confess through, like, it, remember that Netflix documentary where they took that, what was that weird, they brought that young boy into like the interrogation room and they just basically intimidated him into confess that he murdered somebody.
Right. Yeah. And he was
so
like,
it was kind of like, that's what they were doing to the, they didn't have like their family
intimidation
present.
And just kind of like just twisting their words. Yes. And extortion.
So,
yeah,
extortion.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah. See, very little legal knowledge or film knowledge, through this podcast.
Yeah. We're just throwing words out.
Thank you for sticking around. Anyways, that's the kind of like weird sickness in my stomach that I started to have as I watched My Cousin Vizzy, but I got over it pretty quickly because it is a comedy and it does move on from that. But I would recommend When They See Us, Netflix.
Nice.
Get through it.
Okay.
Any other points from your end?
A couple, but I don't think anything worth bringing up.
Okay.
Here we go. I don't like the soundtrack. I think the soundtrack's horrible, this show so far. It's going from like, feels like it's starting like Caddyshack and then it like goes into like some sort of shitty Randy Newman song. Like, no people got you. Sure people got you. No reason got you. No. And then it goes back into like some sort of Footloose friggin' soundtrack. I don't know.
The soundtrack just, did not messy. Stand up for
no,
you.
No.
Super, it was kind of on the nose. I think some of the songs messy. Were very much like, you gotta support your man, when you know there was like a weird song when it was Marissa and Joe Pesci talking at one point, but yeah, they were very on the nose.
What do you think the relationship is between these two guys? I'm not saying they're a couple per se, but you know, like they're on some sort of road trip. You get a shot of the back seat, there's like some sort of college book, it like hints,
well, they're going to college.
Okay, together. Was that established?
I think I just one no that? I think it's maybe glossed over very quickly, but they are either like they've got accepted to college and now they're on a road trip, or they're
bickering like
college.
An old couple with each other. I thought maybe they were like, this is like early stages of maybe, you know, some sort of
relationship.
Yeah, maybe My Cousin Vinny's trying to be woke here or something.
Based on the weird talk when they're in prison, I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe,
oh yeah, true enough.
Maybe
yeah.
they. Maybe
well,
they
come on.
Yeah, this is the really, 90s.
Is Joe Pesci going to be your go-to? You know what I mean? If you were, you find Joe Pesci attractive.
I do, Russ. Thank you. Yeah. the more you know. Here we go. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Vinny and Mona Lisa Vito.
Marissa Tomei.
Arrive in Beecham County. We learn very quickly that Mona Lisa is the brains of the operation and Vinny is the guts and the ignoramus penis. Vinny goes directly to jail.
To visit my nephew, Billy.
And after quite a few sexual innuendos, gets down to lawyering, sort of.
Sort of.
By the way, Vinny has only been practicing law for 6 weeks, which he hides from the Alabama judge, Chamberlain Haller Munster. Mm. Vinny and Mona Lisa visit a local diner for breakfast after being woken up roughly at 5:30 a.m.
Which does get funnier and funnier as it goes on.
To learn about grits and have been simmered in water for 20 minutes.
Hey, pay attention. That'll come in handy later.
Just like Mona Lisa's knowledge of cars, her attention to detail, and her love of photography. Mm. Vinny bumbles his way through the arraignment because he don't look lawyerly and can't speak clearly with an intelligible voice.
Even though everyone else has a large southern drawl to them.
Before he can say guilty or not guilty, he finds himself in contempt. Unfortunately, they don't teach procedure in law school, and Vinny never had time to watch legal procedures in a real court.
Or on Murder, She Wrote, Madlock, Columbo, Night Court, Law and Order.
Oh, keep going. Did Law and Order exist in the 1992?
LA Law? Remember LA Law?
Did it exist in 1992?
Jimmy Smits. Why are you watching old Jimmy Smits telling them what to do?
Star Wars star Jimmy Smits.
Jimmy Smits.
I think you said Matlock or Matlock funny. Say Matlock.
I did say Matlock funny. I felt like I stumbled.
Madlock.
Madlock. Madlock.
Okay, here we go. Marissa is born in 1964. Joe Pesci was born in 1943. 21 years apart. Yeah. It felt a little
forced.
Well, yeah. Like you're watching this couple, you're like, meh. I mean, I have friends who are 10 years apart.
Yeah.
20 years apart?
Yeah.
It's a huge gap.
Yeah. He must have an enormous penis because she's enormous. Quite the looker. And, you know, I don't think
Joe
Pesci
is... she's smart.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. You know, he must have a really good personality.
I think Joe Pesci is a very nice guy.
He's got this psychotic look in his eyes, though. He's got this look in his eyes that you've seen in Casino, which I find, like, very intimidating.
Right.
Like, I find... He's got this can, very bad guy look if he wants to turn it on. I think and you can play, sort of see.
Yeah. Yeah. He plays like slapstick and menacing very well.
Yeah.
And he can go on either side.
And I think that's great that someone of sort of his stature, a short, shorter guy like that can be so intimidating. Right, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Like he doesn't come across as
he doesn't need to be a giant, muscly, big, intimidating bouncer to be scary.
Like you.
Yeah.
You're a pretty giant, muscly bouncer.
Look out.
But I had fun watching them, so I got over it pretty quickly. But it is a big
issue. They had a fun, their relationship reminded me of the Pepe Le Pew and the cat, I think because she had a streak in her hair. And they kind of look like it too, Remember the cat she would paint a white strip down and then Pepe Le Pew would think she's a skunk and he'd pretty much try and rape her, or she's like, mwah, mwah, and she'd keep trying to get away. Like,
another thing that doesn't hold up. So, Looney Tunes, that's a Looney Tunes,
yeah,
okay,
yeah. You know, Pepe Le Pew, right?
I know of Pepe,
okay.
He was, I'm just trying to think if he was in the recent Space Jam movie.
Oh, I don't know.
So, it's not a character that they necessarily he's canceled. He's been.
I'm pretty sure Pepe Le Pew is canceled.
That's what. And then
guy's like a sex offender.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Well, I don't know. Well, no, look at him. He was like.
I haven't revisited.
Look at those cartoons. She's just desperately trying to get away, and he literally manhandles her to stay with him. You know.
All right, kids, don't watch the Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
I really can't.
Don't be
stay.
Like Pepe Le Pew. All right.
Don't
if the
be
girl
Pepe.
Wants to go, let her go.
But this is what reminded you of Joe Pesci and Marisa Tomei.
Yeah, come on. I think visually more so than anything.
Raging. Okay, so Joe Pesci,
Raging
Bull in 1980, Lethal Weapon 2, 89, Goodfellas.
Okay.
So here's the whole menacing and slapstick thing. He's constantly going back from these really serious hardcore roles to these completely
By the looks of this, that's what he does. He does either comedy or he's a gangster.
Yeah, a gangster. Right?
He's either or in Lethal Weapon, he's a combination of both.
Right.
He is a bad guy plus a he's a.
I have no memory of Lethal Weapon.
He's like a, he's borderline criminal. You know, he mingles with the criminal, and they use him like an informant kind of thing.
He came in Lethal Weapon 2, right? And then he was in the third one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then they brought him back in, and then that's when they brought Chris Rock in and Rene Russo in on the third.
Have you rewatched these?
Mm-mm. I've got Lethal Weapon on my list.
Oh, okay. Well,
we always make reference to it.
I know it's the word.
Word Briggs. That's from Briggs. 2, though.
Oh, that's from 2.
That is from 2.
When they're trying to get hip with the Utes.
Yeah, with the Utes. 2 Utes.
Anything else on your end?
Can we keep talking about Marisa Tomei?
Please, let's do that. Mm. I could talk about it right now. I've got my take of the is Marisa Tomei is okay. No, this is how I want to say this. Is Aunt May the sexiest character in the MCU?
Yes.
Could you make an argument for that? Yeah, I think
there's no argument.
Yeah, but there's no argument.
Well, okay. Who would she be up? Scarlett Johansson.
Well,
Colby Smothers.
Thor.
Thor. That's tough competition. What's her name?
Captain America.
Ashley.
Ashley Judd.
The Olsen's sister.
Oh, yes,
older
of
sister.
Course.
Olsen's sister.
Yeah. The Scarlet Witch.
No, Marisa Tomei, I don't know. She is beautiful.
Yeah, there is an argument there.
And she's still beautiful.
She's amazing. And that's, again, kind of goes, 21 years is a significant age gap because Joe Pesci is an old man and Marisa Tomei is probably the most sexiest MCU character.
And in My Cousin Vinny, she is.
She's special.
Fit. That floral onesie, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, I made mention to that later.
I'm sorry. I skipped ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
Or maybe you're laying track. Just like the script does a lot. The script does a lot of laying track.
Laying track.
You know what I mean by that?
Sometimes. Wait. Marisa Tomei aside, laying track. Okay, go.
Laying track. you put little. Facts in the plot.
What are you doing with your hands?
You sprinkle them in. You sprinkle them in like that salt, guy.
The salt bay.
And then you're like, I'm just going to sprinkle some little grits talk here. And then it's going to come in handy later.
For sure.
And then there's a lot more. Like really good movies or stories do that.
Full circle. Or give little hints.
Yeah. So you don't think, what was the point of the you know, all those scenes of him fighting the guy for the $200. Mm. That did not really come in handy.
No, I thought that scene was pointless. The only funny thing I felt about that was that when he's covered in mud and the guy's like, he just kind of leapfrogs towards him and ends up punching. It's the most awkward leap ever. But yeah. That's the only funny part of it, I think. But yeah, totally pointless scene, especially for a lawyer amidst a big murder case to get, you know, entangled into some sort of local assault charge. I think
it kind of just gives us an idea of who he is.
Yeah, as a that's what it's supposed to be. You know, he's a...
Because even when he's bumbling his way, he does seem very good at dealing with this guy.
Right.
So
like he's always got the upper hand of this guy. Like, I don't know.
So you can tell, okay, well, he doesn't... He's never watched a legal procedure, but he does know how to, you know, walk his way around this idiot.
I like how the... in the courtroom, the one lawyer's going up, "Are you sure it's this car?" And it's a black and white. "You're sure it's this mint green car?" And it's a black and white photo. And everybody's like, "That's the car. That's the car."
Did they not invent color in the 90s?
I guess not. But they kept referencing that it's a mint green car, but their
black and white photo.
But their photo is always black. "Well, that's the car right there." That's what I just, the stupidity of it. I don't know. Anyways,
here we go.
I think we should move on.
Unbeknownst to anyone in 1992, we all realize our new favorite thing is Marissa Tomei getting in the mood by talking cars.
Talk to me, baby.
And unbeknownst to Vinny, he doesn't know he can ask questions at the preliminary hearing, and the judge determines that there's sufficient evidence that exists for this matter to go to trial.
Oh, yeah, you really think so?
Frustrated with Vinny's poor performance in court, Stan convinces
my nephew Billy
to meet with a public defender, John Gibbons, and Stan hires John to represent him. Billy stays with Vinny because he does a card trick.
Magic.
But Vinny also hates magic and ruins other magicians' acts. Oh. So the verdict is still out on that one.
Magic sucks.
Vinny goes hunting with the district attorney,
Jim Trotter, played by Lane Smith.
And gets access to all the files because he has to by law. It's called disclosure, dickhead.
It's called disclosure, you dickhead. Yeah, she's running the show, eh?
Yeah, I mean, just...
She's keeping up on everything he needs to be. And
right.
Yeah, so they're good.
They're good. A good combo.
She's her wingman.
Or is
he her wingman?
Yeah, I mean, behind every poor man, there's a better person.
Behind every mediocre man, there's a good woman.
Yeah, I don't know. So Lane Smith.
Oh, I see you've got laying tracks here as well.
Yeah, I jumped. I had it there in my notes to talk about it then, but I decided to talk about her.
Lane Smith. Okay.
Lane Smith. So I'm trying to think of where I recognize him, because all the, again, like great character actors in this film, and you're watching the people, you're like, where do I recognize this person? And I wonder if my most memorable part of my memory with Lane Smith is the son-in-law.
I remember that being a really funny movie.
I mean, when we were young.
Yeah, with the Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore.
Back when he was
popular. So this would be after Encino Man, because I think Encino Man, which is 1992, he pops. And then he must have done Son-in-Law maybe a year or two, which is completely Pauly Shore vehicle.
Yeah, I think he's just riding the Encino Man wave there.
Yeah, and I remember really liking Pauly Shore in that movie, but I don't know. I'd like to actually revisit that and then
Son-in-Law. Yeah,
turn it off like 20 minutes in.
Funny.
Yeah, but I think we thought Pauly Shore was kind of funny. Yeah. And if his shit stinks. Oh, I said the S. I said stinks. Oh. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, another one for good measure.
Yeah, perfect. Two,
just in case I miss one.
Anything on your end there?
Again, we talked about that stupid fight plot between the local guy. I don't understand, other than just reinforcing that Vinny can take care of himself no matter how
big his
opposition is, kind of thing. I don't know.
It's light enough to show his tough guy. It's light enough and it's quick enough that the movie doesn't get bogged down with it. Mm. And I think it is a little bit of a character reveal, but yes, it feels like if they could have cut some time off this movie, they could have cut that for sure.
And what's his problem? I mean, they go out to this Evil Dead cabin in the woods and an owl wakes him up in the middle of the night.
He pulls out the owl.
Okay. But then they escape, and their only escape is he goes in a car. Now they're under the stars. They're in the car. It's very romantic. And he's got Marissa Tomei.
He's stressed out.
Mona Lisa is throwing herself at him. Basically,
biological
clock. She's just about gonna like put her hoochie in his face,
right?
And he can't be bothered. He's just stressed. I don't see no stars and all that. Like, come on, what's his problem?
He's stressed out. He's got a big case in the morning.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, like, how are you? Are you like, when I'm stressed out, there's no
really
drive in me whatsoever.
You don't it's not a good stress relief for you?
No, not when I'm stressed out.
Okay.
When I'm stressed out, that's
I think I can get a boner anytime.
Wow. Wow, we went there with the podcast. Episode 35, Sean's Boner Talk. You let your kids listen to this podcast, right?
No, not anymore. No, I made a joke once, and it wasn't even really a bad joke. It was something about...
Most of your jokes are pretty bad.
Okay, well, anyways, it was a bad joke. And it was something about being annoyed at my kids or something about being loud. Oh. And I mentioned that they'd gone to their grandmother. So I got an evening of quiet or something like that. And my daughter heard that and she took it very personally. Yeah, so I was no more.
Yeah.
No more listening to daddy's pot because daddy doesn't mean anything. Yeah. You know, I'm just trying to be
funny. Maybe they'll come back to this.
And not hitting the mark.
When they're older.
Maybe.
If it still exists online. Maybe.
They like to sing the jingle and that's about it.
What's the jingle sound like? That was a good realization that I don't know the actual words. I tried to sing along and I couldn't do it.
You're horrible.
You ready for me to keep going?
Let's go.
The jury's chosen. Marissa Tomei wears a floral pattern catsuit, and the trial starts with opening statements from the district attorney, Jim Trotter, and snores from defense attorney, Vinnie Gambini.
What?
John Gibbons, public defender, approaches the jury for his statement, struggles presenting his case with a stuttering. Witnesses are called to the stand, but this time Vinnie has done his due diligence, and he's able to discredit each witness one by one. Pew, pew, pew. Stan fires the public defender, and the district attorney, Jim Trotter, surprises Vinny with a new witness and scientific evidence by way of a special automotive instructor of forensic studies for the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I don't know what this is here.
So when he brings up the witness, the FBI witness, he talks about how the tires are identically matched.
Right.
And Jim Trotter does some sort of like identical. And he like slaps to the jury. Like it's a pretty funny.
He does. It's like,
Yeah. Like identical. Like he's so proud of himself. It's a funny line. He delivers it.
Well. Identical.
The case comes down to the best-selling tire, Michelin model XGV75R15, and Vinny calling his automotive expert, Mona Lisa Vito, to rebut the FBI testimony. Meanwhile, the sheriff does some very basic police work and traces a faded metallic mint green
white
convertible top 1963 Pontiac Tempest with Positraction.
Yeah.
Limited slip differential, independent rear suspension. Vinny calls his last witness, Sheriff Farley, who explains that two individuals were arrested 2 days ago in Jasper County, Georgia, which is like the state over.
Right.
With a 357. Is that how you say it?
357.
357. Magnum revolver and the state dismisses all charges. Hooray.
Adjourned.
Do you not have a hooray sound effect?
No, should I get one?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I was going to do a cheer and just, I'll get a cheer.
Because you have a right? So you should probably have a ding, ding, ding or a cheer.
Well, I've got a correct.
That's more like a,
Like
I come, like I'm like an idea, like a light bulb moment.
Right. I think that's what it was called on YouTube.
When really?
Stole it. The idea sound moment. Effect.
There you go. That's the end of the movie.
Well, yeah, maybe do a little police work, and find out if there's a murder weapon kicking. One, they never had the murder weapon. And,
and the fact that they were arrested 2 days ago.
Well, and he just discredited everybody's statement so easily.
It's not a great courtroom drama.
No, exactly.
None of the actual courtroom stuff really hold up, I think. We know a lawyer.
Who?
Right.
Ryan.
We should bring Ryan on this podcast.
We should ask Ryan.
Do you have his number? Could you call him?
I could get a hold of him.
Okay. But you don't talk to him enough to just call him randomly
I think I'd have to Facebook message him first.
Okay.
And set the seed.
Hey, we want to talk to you about My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know what is the best movie or television that follows
Right. What's the most accurate depiction of real life courtroom
drama? Because a lot of it's dramatized to make it interesting.
I'm pretty sure it's Suits.
I watched maybe a couple episodes.
We got into a couple seasons.
Attractive people in it.
It was good for a bit, and then it just became the same shtick, Mike's to save the day with some crazy legal loophole yes. that no one's ever thought about before.
I think like I realized that in like episode one. Thing. Yeah. So the case doesn't matter. It's all about Marissa Tomei and yeah. Joe Pesci's performance yeah. and their interactions with all the other fun characters yeah. in the movie.
I've got again here, you know, again, the judge is super biased and hell bent. Like, it's like the whole state is hell bent on frying somebody. Even when Vinny goes up and he's got a good rebuttal, he says that was a very well thought out, well executed rebuttal, but you know, sustained.
Right.
And it's like
they needed that for the plot. They needed right. to like, well, they needed yeah. the whole plot to come together in a certain way. And in order to do that, he needed to like sustain that. Like what sounds like a legitimate concern.
Right. But still, it makes them just seem like they're just a bunch of trigger happy Southern yeah. people just want to fry anybody for this. It doesn't even matter if they were guilty or not. It's just like, we need to fry somebody. We're bored.
Right. Like he's big on procedure, but when it doesn't work with the plot, he doesn't
yeah. seem to follow. Or if it doesn't work for his agenda, right? Yeah.
Right. But I think, he wasn't like, I didn't feel like, I think you're saying that the judge was hell bent on it. I think the judge saw it clearly. Like he didn't seem to be stuck on the fact that Vinny won the case. Like he was, but he just needed everything to go as should in a court of law.
Right. But even Alabama. When he did do it right, the judge still.
But that's what the plot needed.
Right.
Like, I think it doesn't actually reflect what the character was up to that point in the movie.
Right.
I think it's just what.
And the two ute. Did you say two utes?
What's a ute?
Are you on drug? Like, and he kept like slurring all his words too. And I was kind of like, that's kind of hypocritical for this guy who keeps slurring all his own words.
But that's part of the fun of the movie.
I guess it's like just the, you're down south with someone from New York and it's the two accents not getting along yeah. or the two ways of life, whatever you want to say, right?
Yeah. The liberal and the conservative. Hmm. New York versus Alabama.
New York City.
New York City. Yeah, when was that? I wonder if at the same time, like that whole idea of like the South versus the North. Like, when was the Civil War? Was that 91?
87?
When did they abolish slavery? Anyway, you want to rate this?
Yeah.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
I give this 3 jarps. 3 jarps
wait,
for the...
Wait. You got to explain oh first. Gosh. People don't know. Okay, like everybody. 3. 3 out of what? 3 out of 10?
3 out of 2? 336. Hey, everybody. This is Just Another Review Podcast. This is the time where we rate the movie we just watched. We can give it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. 5 is the max. 5 jarps. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving it 3. 3 jarps. 3 jarps. 2 jarps for the amazing acting.
Nice. Well,
and the writing. The writing was pretty good.
I used my JARP rating maker, which I noticed that you don't use. I put all my hard work into it. You don't use like, it? It's just you don't know how to use it?
I don't know how to use Excel.
Oh my God.
Or links. You link it. You link it from a Word doc to an Excel doc. It's just too much for me.
Anyways.
I just don't, I spend all my time writing synopsis.
I have a little bit of a breakdown in some things that I look at and then I give it a rating. Then I put some math in there so it does all the calculation, but it's obviously too complicated for us to use. Anyways, it came up with 2.86, so I'm going to round it up to a 3.
Please.
And the only reason I'm giving it a 3, I think, is because only slightly above average because of Marissa Tomei. Joe Pesci didn't steal the show like he normally does, and the stupidity surrounding the whole plot line didn't even really hit the funny factor for me. The floral onesie alone was worth 3 jarps for me. And so, yeah, so going through my JARP, the one thing that really stood out is one of the lines I have is, how much would you recommend this movie to somebody? And I gave it a 1 because I was like, I can't see after watching this now me going, hey, Matt, Jason, everybody, you gotta go watch My Cousin Vinny. I don't see myself saying that to anybody after watching it.
If someone had never seen it and they enjoyed movies, I would tell them to watch this. Yeah. But I wouldn't in the world of too much content. I would not say like, oh, you don't have enough time to even look after your kids. You should go watch My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, exactly.
If someone's like, oh, I've never seen it. Is it worth it? I'd be like, yeah, it's fun.
It's worth it for the onesie.
It's funsy. It's funsy onesie. Are you good?
Oh, I got ahead of myself.
No, that was great. Yeah. I thought that was a great transition.
Perfect.
You did it right.
Perfect. This is what you're watching.
This is stargazing, everybody. Right. This is where we talk about what we're watching outside of the movie, what we're excited about. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go first? I've been going first.
Sure. Time. John Wick 4 just came out on Friday.
Have you seen it?
No, but I heard it's almost 3 hours long.
It is. It's almost 3 hours
long. Of nothing but pure violence.
Have you ever seen the John Wick
movies? I love the John Wick bits because it's just escapism. It doesn't take itself seriously. It's
very funny.
It's kind of like a bit of a alternate universe, I guess you would say, a little bit, because it's kind of removed from reality, like this underground society, hitman society that goes on. Anyway, so it's just fun. It doesn't, and the action, like, seriously, the best action out there. Like,
so the director was a stunt choreographer, wasn't he? Before,
I have no idea. I don't know.
He was like a stunt guy, and he worked with Keanu in a different movie, maybe even The Matrix. Mm-hmm. And now he's the director of the film. And so
I love these movies, right? Because he runs out of bullets.
Oh, and he has to.
There's no unlimited bullets. Nope. And you see John Wick, he'll kill a guy and then he'll go and he'll grab the guy's clips as he moves on.
Right.
So, you know what? So they're very conscious of bullet count, you know, even though it is very far fetched and very fantastical, I guess is the word.
They take the action seriously.
They take, you know, as far as the bullet count and he'll run out of bullets and, and he'll have to improvise and come up with a new clever way to kill somebody.
Which one was he's fighting a guy in where there's a horse?
Yeah.
And he uses the horse as
Supposedly he's on horses in this one too.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
I heard they filmed this all over the world.
Amazing. And I think, is that the last one? Is it the final?
There's rumors that they might do a fifth. Hmm. So I imagine then
I'd go see this if you want to go see this.
Yeah, I was actually going to reach out to you and Jay and say, is this something you guys would like to see? I think
it's a good movie to watch in the theaters.
Oh, for sure. Actually, it's like I said, it's just mindless action. You're not going to go in. You're not going to be solving any of the world's problems with the plot.
He doesn't get his dog back?
There's a dog in it.
Oh, there is another dog.
He's got a new dog. What drove him in the first one is they killed his dog.
And that's why he's seeking revenge. Does he have a dog in two or three?
Yeah. At the end of one, he kind of confronts a street dog, or maybe the end of two. And I think it's just around him. But then in three, he connects with Halle.
He gets a doggy backpack?
No, he connects with Halle Berry, who has two military German shepherds or her arsenal.
I feel like I've seen this movie, but I need to see it again.
So her sort of go-to weapon is these two German shepherds, and they just kick ass. Dogs are amazing. I don't know what's in the fourth one, but I did see a shot in the trailer of him talking to a small German shepherd puppy. Oh, and there is they do show a small clip of the dog attacking somebody, kicking the shit out of
somebody. Can a movie get any better?
I think I owe a couple of swears.
That jar is getting big.
What I'm getting at is John Wick is just fun. It's great action. It's like a perfect, I think probably a great escape.
You're excited.
Yeah, I am excited, as you can tell. And we talked about this already. The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie looks fantastic.
When is that coming out?
Sometime in the summer, I imagine.
Okay, a long time.
It'd be a big summer hit, I'm sure.
Oh,
it looks, go watch the trailer. It looks really good.
I think I have. Anyways, are you excited about the Super Mario movie?
That's no, not at all. Considering I'm
you're a big gamer. Game guy,
yeah. I like Nintendo. I like the legacy of Mario, but I'm not excited for this movie at all.
The Rainbow Road's on it.
Good.
On trailer. A couple of trailer watches, Sean, following up from previous episodes of ours. What's coming out? Well, actually, Yellow Jackets season 2 episode 1 dropped on Friday.
I'm gonna try and hold off.
All right.
So I can stack a couple.
What did you just do? And I was telling you not to do that on something.
The Last of Us.
Have you caught up now?
No. Jeez, here's my problem because my time to watch these series is at night with my wife. And I don't think The Last of Us is really up. I'll ask if she wants to watch it. But
so you should have done it week by week. It's a pretty heavy show, and I would not watching it. Well, I would not recommend watching it back to back. Anyways, I've already talked about this.
Okay, I'll start pecking away at it.
Schmigadoon season 2, Schmicago coming out.
New cast, you think?
No, it's everyone's back.
How did it? You said they got together at the end of it, right? Yeah. And they escaped.
I think from the trailer.
Did they escape Schmigadoon?
They escape Schmigadoon. And then it looks like they're going back to like their regular life as doctors, and that's boring. And they're like, do you remember Schmigadoon? They're like, I do. That was fun. Yeah, let's go back. And so they're trying to, they find go back to the forest looking for Schmigadoon, and they find Schmicago. It looks amazing. Anyways, and also Dave season 3 is coming.
Oh, yes.
That's exciting.
Oh, I love the ending of David season. Dave season
David? 2. That's when he's in trouble.
Yeah.
David.
That's my manager's David, but everyone calls him Dave. I'm the only one that calls him David.
Are you allowed? Is he
allowed? See, this is where the first day I started working, I noticed that his name would say David on his email and stuff, but everyone was calling him Dave. So I was like,
Some of them are David.
So I asked him, I said, what do you prefer? Yeah. And he said, David.
Right.
So I call him David now, but everyone else still calls him Dave. And I hope he's listening right now.
Oh my gosh.
And Dave knows that I actually paid attention to what he preferred and that I'm the only one.
You're the only one
that calls him by the right name.
These are the Daves I know. I know.
David.
Dave, and some of them are
Dave. When does Dave season 3 come out?
I don't know, man.
Oh, what?
I think soon.
Okay.
That's my grasp of reality.
Okay. Better Call Saul you got here.
Oh, yeah.
Still going. They didn't wrap that up.
No, they did wrap it up. But I'm on the Netflix schedule,
right,
not the AMC schedule. Right. So even though AMC wrapped up the whole show a year ago,
you have to be silly enough to subscribe to cable for that.
Right.
Right.
So I'm waiting. And finally, Netflix is going to have the final season.
Nice.
April 18th, mark your VCRs. Is that what we do? Get ready for that, everybody.
Perfect.
The finale. Because now there's like a new show. Damn it. Now I can't remember his name. Oh, man. I told you we would forget actors' names.
Better Call Saul actor? Yeah.
David Cross.
No, it's not David Cross.
Anyways, the David Cross's partner in crime from the show, Mr. Show. I can't even think of it. This is like, is this an age thing?
I think it's Sunday thing.
Oh, it's a Sunday thing. I haven't had my coffee yet. Mm. I just want to keep on saying David Cross. Anyways, he's in another show that's new on AMC, and they haven't even released the final Better Call Saul on Netflix. Come on, Netflix. This should have been done 6 months ago, is all I'm saying. There's also a new show coming out called Beef with Ali Wong and Steven Yeun that looks really good on Netflix.
Okay.
Netflix, I'm coming around to you. At one point, I thought this is the streaming service I could get rid of.
Yeah.
But, and a few, Mandalorian season 3. Did you ever start watching that show? Right, whatever. I don't know, man. The season 3 is weird.
Yeah, I'm on a forum at work, or a movie.
A Mandalorian forum?
No, a movie forum. Oh. And one of the guys is a huge Star Wars fan, but he's just not digging the Mandalorian. He says it's pretty poop.
Could we call him up right now and talk to him about that?
Not right now.
Okay. Well, see, there's a lot of guys. So we're going to have It Star. Chris
a lawyer.
Eastman. We're going to have a lawyer, and we're going to have David. Let's have David.
Sure, let's just ask him random questions.
And then your buddy from your film forum online.
Right. Jay. We'll ask Jay about his thoughts on Mandalorian.
Like our Jason or a different Jay?
Different Jay.
Do all Jasons love Star Wars?
Yeah.
We could call Jason and see.
We should just make a list of J's.
Can you call Jason right now?
No.
Okay, I'm going to call Jason right now.
No, my phone's not on me.
All right, I'm going to call Jason.
Are you?
I'm going to ask him. Can you fill time for a second?
See, but now you're adding time that I'm just going to have to go and edit out, right?
No, yeah, you don't have to.
You're right. Okay, filibuster. Okay. Right now, Russ is struggling to use technology. He can't use my JARP movie rating thing, but for some reason, he's able to work a phone. Right. And put it on speaker.
Oh, I don't. My reception in the basement is not great.
Sure. So this excuses. May not work. This is. Oh, this you hear
work.
That?
This may not work.
Yeah. I think it works.
Yeah. Let's bring it. Will he answer?
And he's going to be like, hello. Come on. Answer, Jason.
This could have been.
Oh, there he is.
Jason, can you hear me?
Yeah.
My reception's not great in the basement.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear Sean?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Okay, he sounds tired.
Are you okay? Is everything okay?
I'm fighting a flu.
Oh no! You called him at the really
past couple days in bed.
Is it COVID?
I don't know. I hope not.
What do you think of Mandalorian season 3?
We're wondering if all Jason's like Star Wars.
I've been enjoying it so far. Me and Olivia, I think we watched the first 3 episodes, right, Liv? watched the first three episodes of Mando so far.
Dude, what did you think of episode three? That was my favorite. It was like the side plot about the cloning engineer guy.
About that doctor guy?
Yeah, on Coruscant.
Yeah, it was not bad. It was it was maybe a little bit slower pace.
I like than, that.
Like the other stuff. Ones, yeah. But
not enough broccoli pirate. Backstory. Not enough broccoli pirate. Is your favorite the broccoli pirate guy?
The broccoli pirate guy. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well,
I think we should let him go back to bed. He sounds rough.
Thanks for your appearance. We're recording just another.
You're on JARP right
you're
now.
You're on JARP.
No way. This is how I make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your first appearance on JARP.
Right on. Well, you guys made my day.
Well, you made good. Ours. I hope you feel better.
Yeah. Get better, buddy.
The Last of Us. You guys watching that?
The Last of Us?
No.
Yeah. It's the Russ's. Season one ended. I completed it in real time. It was good. Did you like it?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, super good.
I thought it peaked early for me. Like it kind of, as it went along, it was never as good as maybe episode four.
Yeah, I heard there's
My favorite episode was the one with those two random
guys. I haven't seen it yet.
The random guys?
Hang up on them.
Yeah.
Hang up on them.
Okay, I got to let you go, Jason.
No, you don't have to hang up on them.
Okay, guys, love you.
Okay, love you, buddy. Too. Hope you feel better.
Get better.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye, guys.
All right.
He almost ruined it for me. I would have liked that.
I would have really liked that. Okay. Finally.
You know what's time for?
It's random movie trivia game.
Perfect.
Okay. We have.
We each get a card.
That's one for you. We have not looked at this.
Nope.
Each card has four questions. Usually Sean wins.
Whoa.
Oh, man. And by usually...
No, this is weird because I was just talking about something like this last week.
By usually, I mean all the time. Sean always wins.
Yeah.
But maybe this is the time that Russ wins. Probably so we've not. Got the sound of the aim, but we don't have a good yay sound. I don't want that sound.
Can you just live with it today? And then next week, I'll change it off.
Oh, I swear.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's two.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
You go.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Who is the voice of Donkey in Shrek?
Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Wow. Good for you. You're so smart.
Russ doesn't like that.
I don't like that at all.
Okay. Well, you will like it soon because this is your question. What actor plays Uncle Buck?
John Candy. All right.
There you go.
What movie is considered the culmination of a story arc told over 22 films?
Say that again.
What movie is considered the culmination of a story arc told in over 22 films? This is this is maybe a trick question because you're thinking you just got like stay topical, stay recent.
Star Wars.
No, I'm going to say it one more time. What movie is considered the culmination of a story arc told over 22 films? So 22 films that all have to do with, not necessarily, there's kind of some are standalone, some have to do with each other, and it's all kind of ends, caps with this final film.
The Avengers?
Which one? What's the Avengers colon? It's not the beginning. It's the
Infinity War.
Nope.
Endgame.
Right.
Avengers Endgame.
I kind of don't want to give that to you.
No, I don't think you should. You had to prod me quite a bit on that. That's not fair.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Oh, I'll take that. Because I don't think you're going to get this one right anyways. Frick. What adventurer has been portrayed by Richard Chamberlain, Sean Connery, and Patrick Swayze? What adventurer has been portrayed by Richard Chamberlain, Sean Connery, and Patrick Swayze? I'll give you a hint. It's not Indiana Jones.
Yeah, sure. Like, is it like a Jacques Cousteau, like a 50 Leagues Under the Sea kind of thing?
Jacques Cousteau's a real person.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I thought. Adventure.
Okay,
like,
you know, fair enough.
You're saying like it's a fictional adventure.
I'll give you that.
Like a James Bond is a fictional character.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay.
Because I don't think you're going to get it.
No, probably not. The Patrick Swayze thing is really...
Patrick, that one...
is really...
I had no idea. I thought there was one movie by this thing, but I guess there's a couple.
There's a couple. Oh, what about, no, I was going to say The Hunt for Red October or whatever that character is in the John Grisham movies. I don't know. I don't know. I give up.
Alan Quartermain. You remember the movie Alan Quartermain and the Lost City of Gold?
No, that's a thing.
I was literally talking about this at work on Tuesday.
Alan Quartermain.
And the Lost, he's kind of like an Indiana Jones ripoff. Oh, and it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And this is like a Percy Jackson thing? he's like an Indiana Jones ripoff, and his name was Alan Quartermain.
Wow, I've never heard of this.
That's why I thought it would be tough.
Never heard of this. Well, Sean, here we go. What film earned Richard Attenborough an Oscar for Best Director? This might be hard. I don't think I'd get this. What film earned Richard Attenborough an Oscar for Best Director?
I think I can see the poster now, but. Something Simple Minds? No.
Simple Minds? No. Gandhi.
Okay. No.
Yeah. I didn't realize. I thought Richard Attenborough was just an.
That's narrator. David Attenborough.
Oh, damn it.
That's okay. That's what I thought too. Yeah. At first. Okay, you
basic
ready for this?
Film knowledge.
Shit, you might get this one. Okay. Brie Larson won an Oscar for her captivating performance in what 2015 film?
See, I want to say The Room. But it's not The Room. Damn it. She's...
I'll give that to you.
Oh, Room? Is this Room?
It was Room.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but come on. The...
Yeah,
Room.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. The movie, The Room.
Okay, shit,
the
man.
The movie, Room.
If I don't get this, you win.
Oh, okay.
I've only got one right so far.
And I've gotten two right.
And you've got two. Right.
What is the nickname of the serial killer Clarice is chasing in The Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, shit.
What is the nickname of the serial killer?
Buffalo Bill.
Right. Okay. So you've got 2 points. I've got 2 points. If I get this,
you
I win.
Yeah. Okay. Ready?
Room. Oh. Room. Just Room.
Shit. Of course it's multiple. In the sci-fi epic Annihilation.
Oh, I love that movie.
With Natalie Portman. Yeah,
good score.
What is the anomalous zone called? The blink, the shimmer, or the warp?
Oh my God. I don't know. The shimmer.
Yeah! Yay! Russ has won movie trivia.
I think that's the first time I've won.
Yeah, I think so too.
Congratulations.
I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just trying to be realist here. That was a good sci-fi, Annihilation? I really liked it.
It was on Netflix for a long time, and I wish it still was.
It was creepy at the end, eh?
Yeah, it was crazy in the end.
Like, was she hurt at the end, or do you think she swippy swapped?
I think she swippy swapped. I don't remember. Is this the one where she ends up in that tower? Is that in Annihilation?
Yeah, I remember. And then the alien species like copying her at near the end, but it's like mirroring her though.
Right. I just remember a lot of like, she had that like little squad.
There's a lot of kind of like astronaut's wife themes going on there. Ooh. Like he went into the shimmer and then came back and he wasn't quite the same person he was when he came back.
I thought there was like a big cancer metaphor with that whole movie.
Maybe.
Anyways, that's why I'd really like to see it. But so shout out to Rich, and also listener. We used to just hang out, drink beer, and listen to the Annihilation soundtrack, which is a crazy soundtrack score. Oh. It's good. So that's more of a core memory for me, is just listening to the music of that movie.
Is you hang out with this rich guy? Yeah. That's core memory for that's you. A core what about memory. Me?
No, it's more Rich.
Jerk.
Yeah. All right. Love you, buddy. See ya.
Love you too.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and